Amen. Again, it's good to be back in the Lord's house and very thankful for all that He's done. And man, I've been looking forward to today. We left out of here Sunday evening after church was over with, and I got in a truck, and before I even could get down to the dump down here, the Lord had already laid on my heart the message for this morning. And we've been praying over it all week, and Lord's really just opened up the portals of heaven, and He's poured out His Spirit. We thank Him so much for that, and we hope that what He's given us is a blessing to you as much as it's been one to us. If you have your Bibles and you want to go with me this morning, I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm only going to read one verse of Scripture, and then we're going to get right into the message. But I want to preach to you today by the help of the Lord on God's glove box of grace. God's glove box of grace. There's going to be a little show and tell this morning. And I hope that by the preaching of the Word of God and by the illustrations that He's laid on our heart to give you, that it's something that helps you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will, when you find your place, please stand with me. In honor and reverence of the reading of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just going to read one verse. We're going to read verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Now, Father, we come before the throne now asking again Your favor on the message, praying that You may give us an unction, Lord, that You give us the power from on high. You breathe upon these words, Father, that they may burn within our soul, burn within our hearts. Father, we pray that You just put the guard of watch before our lips, that we say not that which will be against Your will or contrary to what You want to have, what You want said. But we pray You'd hide us behind the cross, Father, and just shine forth Your light upon men as we need to see that light so badly today. And we thank You for the opportunity to be able to stand and preach. May You give us that power and that Spirit for just a little while. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God's glove box of grace. Of course, I think everybody's fairly familiar with the, do they call that a, no, it ain't a synonym. What do they call that whenever you take each letter of a word and you make it an acronym? That's the one. Acronym. I always get them mixed up. Synonym is something similar. Anonym is opposite. Amen. And then an acronym is grace. God's grace, G-R-A-C-E. I always was taught that it stood for God's righteousness at Christ's expense. And you wouldn't have the grace of God had you not had a sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary. And if you were going to get into God's grace, you're going to have to go through God's channel of grace, and that's Jesus Christ. All right, so God's grace is at Christ's expense. Listen, isn't it wonderful to know this morning that God's grace available to you didn't cost you a dime? Isn't it wonderful to know today that it don't matter where I've been, what I've done, who I've done it with, where I was when I did it, or what time of the day or night it was, that if it was wrong, God's grace allowed me to get back from that thing. God's grace gave me the ability to get up off my feet when I stumbled and fell. God's grace got me through times of trial and the times of tribulation. It's all been because of God's grace. Boy, I thank God that there's still a grace that can be not measured by man's measuring, but I'm thankful it's a well that's so deep I can't reach the bottom of it. I'm thankful this morning for the fact that even in the days that we're living in now, in the times of uncertainty, that though I don't know what tomorrow may hold, the grace of God gives me the strength to be able to say, though I know not what tomorrow may hold, thank God I know who holds tomorrow. Hey, man, what a blessing. Hallelujah, man. I'm glad. Boy, I'm glad to be saved this morning. Boy, I'm glad to be in church today. Hallelujah. I'm glad to have a Bible to preach out of. I'm glad to have 50 pews that ain't empty today. Bless God. Let me tell you something. You begin to realize how hard it is to sit and stare at your own ugly mug on a computer screen trying to preach to that thing in hopes that it helps somebody. And hopefully it did. Amen. But there ain't nothing like getting in the church house with a pew full of people and have someone to talk to about how good the grace of God is. Man, what about that grace of God? Hallelujah. Let's look at a couple of things by way of getting started this morning. Dive right into this thing. He says, first part of verse 10 there, he says, but by the grace of God, he said, I am what I am. Listen to me, understanding God's grace is going to be, first of all, starting off with you being content with where God's got you. Amen. You're going to have to be content with where God has you. I'm not saying that you've got to be content with where you currently are. I'm talking about if you are where God wants you this morning and you are doing what God wants you to do, then the first step in understanding the grace of God is being happy about where you are. Being content with where you are. Amen. Now, if you're somewhere where you ought not to be, you don't fully understand the grace of God till you get back from where you were not supposed to be. Amen. Because then, like the prodigal, you come to yourself and you realize that were not for the grace of God, you'd still be in the hog pen. Or worse than that, you may be another tombstone on the hillside of the law of the far country because you didn't come to yourself quick enough. Amen. Amen. But a person who is where they're supposed to be and where God wants them to be has a good understanding of the grace of God when they're content with where God has them. Amen. I am what I am by the grace of God. Ain't that something? It doesn't mean you're always going to like where you are. Amen. But you're still going to understand the grace of God better if you're where He wants you to be and not where you think you ought to be. Amen. Amen. He's got a will for you. Say, how do you know that, preacher? He's got a will for you. Otherwise, we'd have done it plain as you. Amen. We'd have done stuck you on the bottom side of the dirt and said a nice little prayer, beautiful little eulogy, and then you'd have passed off into eternity and you would have been a memory. Amen. And that's the way you'd be if you were done. If God didn't have a will for you right now, you wouldn't be sitting here listening to this preaching. If you didn't have a will that God had for you this morning, you wouldn't even woke up today. Amen. Whoever your spouse was laying in the bed beside of you or your family in the other room would have found you. Amen. Because God's grace had went with you as far as it was going to go. And then His grace was going to take you home. Boy, ain't that good verse there at the end of Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I love that old song, man. I tell you, you could preach a message just on that song. And it's the old church hymnal, page 57. It's always been there. It's almost like scripture, except that it's not. Amen. But I believe whoever wrote that song was inspired to write that song because that's got to be the closest thing to the Christian theme song as there ever was. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, that hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've known less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Ain't it good to know the grace of God? Ain't it good to have the grace of God? And by the power of God and the Spirit of God, you can throw your head back and say, well, bless God, and by the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. Boy, it's good to be saved this morning. Child of God by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you're there in chapter 15. If you back up and look at what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and you look in verse 7, he tells you this. He says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou didst not receive it? But what he's talking about here, he says, who maketh thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou didst not? Listen, anything that you've got today has been given to you because God's grace gave it to you. Amen. And so whenever God gives you something, the last thing people need to do is, number one, they need not boast because they think they got it based on something good they did. But the other thing is they don't need to sit there and complain about what God gave them because they don't feel like they needed it or wanted it. Lord, I didn't need this sickness. Lord, I didn't need this disease. Lord, I didn't need these financial problems. Lord, this bill was not a bill I needed right now. This is not something I needed in my life. This is not where I saw my life heading. Man, this would be a message. If I could preach to the graduating class of this year, I'd tell them, man, you better make sure that you got God's grace on your side because that's what's going to lead you in the direction you need to go that's going to come out the right place. What an early spot in life to let the grace of God guide you where the Spirit of God will sustain you and where the glory of God can come out of you. Praise the Lord, man. The grace of God, I am what I am. Listen, it took a long time to get to where I'm at, and it's not been the easiest road to get to where I'm at, and you've got the same testimony, but blessed be God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. Amen. May not always like where I wound up, but boy, His grace brought me. See, Paul told Timothy, he said, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Which means if somebody's going to do something for God, they got to want it. They got to want it. What is that? That man, that's something. That's the grace of God. Grace of God allows you to not do what you do because you have to do it. But it's the grace of God that gives you the blessing of free will to do what you do for God because you want to do it. You see, it ain't like it is with Isaiah nowadays. See, Isaiah realized he was an unqualified man. He was wretched and poor, and he was miserable. And he said, who am I? He said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I need to be cleansed. And said, the angel took a fire from off the coal and touched it to his lips and said, see, this has touched thy lips, and thou art clean from thy sin. And then the Lord said, who will go for us? And Isaiah started jumping up and down and his hands in the air, saying, here am I, Lord, send me. But that ain't where we are now. Where are we now? The Lord still calls His hand. Who will go for us? And everybody goes, you've seen it happen, right? You've seen it happen. Here's the line. And it's all the soldiers. And everybody's fit for battle. Everybody's able to be able-bodied soldiers of the cross. Able to step out on faith and trust God. And when the Lord says, who will go for us? Everybody's... And then there's one left standing. Of course, the old lone dum-dum that ain't got no sense, you know. He's the one that's left standing out there. And the boss turns around and he says, hey, man, add a way to put some guts into it. And that's what you've got. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. That is how God called me. If I had to have an illustration of my calling, I wasn't worth calling. I was too stupid to back out of it. And when everybody else took a step back, I just happened to be the one that was still standing there. Because I didn't have enough presence of mind. Oh, wait. Say, preacher, you really mean that? No, listen to me, church. I got called to preach because God put the calling on me. And when God put the calling on me, He didn't put it on me and say, now you're going to preach whether you want to or not. He put the calling on me and He said, this is something I've got for you. And if you want my grace and if you want to do something for me, this is how you can do it. It's an opportunity. It's not a forced thing. It's an opportunity. He said, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. If you're going to do the work God's got for you to do, you've got to want to do it. Amen. And if you feel like you've been forced into it, then you're not doing it in the grace and power of God. And it's definitely not going to be for His honor and glory. So when we go and talk about the grace of God, you've got to back up now. I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. Because the first thing in understanding God's grace is being content with where you are. Because if you're not content with where you are, and that's where God is calling you, then you don't fully understand the grace of God. You don't fully comprehend that I am what I am by the grace of God. All right? Now look at what it says, second half of the verse. You know what I've learned about some people, Brother Candler, Brother Bill? You know what I've learned about some people is getting some people to do something for God is almost like calling them up for jury duty. It's like, oh, it's my turn. Oh, Lord, didn't I just get called 2 years ago? I mean, my God, I got this card. I mean, I'm sure this card that says if I get called before, you know, a certain date, surely they can't call me back, you know. That's the way with those people. See, somebody's supposed to be, here am I, Lord, send me. But instead they're saying, wait a minute. Hey, I got called 2 years ago. I still got about 2 weeks left before they can call me back and put me back in rotation. Somebody mixed something up. You know what? God don't mix nothing up. And God knows who He wants, and He knows where He wants them when He wants them there. And if He's put it on you to be there where you need to be, then bless God, you better be there. And you better do what God wants you to do. Say, am I forced into it? No, you ain't forced into it. You don't understand the grace of God if you're being forced into it. The grace of God tells you that I am what I am by God's grace. And I'm glad for where I'm at. I'm glad for what I'm doing. I'm glad for what He's given me. And I can shout hallelujah. Listen. Listen to me, church. We go down to that revival every year down there at Jacksonville. And we may not get to go this year, and if we don't, that's fine. But for some reason, every year, it's always brought up that what if God just wants you to be the one that scrubs the toilets in the bathroom so the people of God will have a clean place to go to the restroom when they meet here? And if that's all you do, and that's what God's called you to do, and you do it with joy in your heart and gladness in your soul, then you can step back and throw your hands in the air and say, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Don't matter what you are. Don't matter what you do. People think a calling to God comes from the pulpit, or it's got to come to a pulpit, or a mission field, or the position of a deacon, or something like that. Listen. Do you know what this preacher needs more than he needs more deacons? I don't need no more deacons. I got two of the best deacons in the world. And I've been around some deacons. Let me tell you something. I've been around deacons where I've watched them as a boy try to control the pastor. And I've had them go to the pastor and say, listen, brother, this is not how we feel. The church needs to be led. And we think you need to do this. And we think you need to do that. And I've seen them do that. I've seen them do that to preachers. I thank God that we got deacons here that ain't like that. I'm glad we got deacons here that'll let the Lord lead the man of God in the way that he feels he needs to go. And you know what they'll do? They pray for him. Amen. But you know what the preacher needs more than he needs more deacons? You know what the preacher needs more than he needs more Sunday school teachers? You know what he needs more than he needs another office holder? He needs somebody that'll just be willing to every day get on their knees and say, God, he's young, he don't know a whole lot, and he ain't got a whole lot of sense, but God, he loves you, and he loves your word, and that's what we need in the day and age where preachers are falling by the dozens and by the thousands out of the grace of God because they're not content with where they are, and they want to be somewhere else. Listen, the preachers that are still preaching need people praying. And they need people to be content with that if that's where God needs them and where God wants them. Just every day. Every day. I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, second part of the verse there, he says this. I still got some time. Second part of the verse. Oh, I'm still in chapter 4. Let me get back to chapter 15. All right, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Boy, have you ever just stopped every once in a while to ask yourself, and not just ask yourself, but maybe even ask the Lord. Say, Lord, am I squandering the grace that You extend to me? Lord, am I wasting the grace, Your marvelous grace, Your abundant grace, am I squandering that? Am I doing something with it that You never intended for me to do? Am I using Your grace and mercy as an occasion to take care of this flesh as opposed to serve You? He says that the grace that was bestowed was not in vain. You know, I want to believe that the grace that He's extended to me, the measure of grace that's been given to me, has not been ill-spent. I want to believe that. But I have to tell you, I do believe that there are times when I can stretch His grace, boy, and I can stretch it sometimes to the point of transparency. Amen. I'm glad that there ain't no breaking it. Amen. I'm glad there ain't no snapping it. Amen. I'm glad it ain't like a rubber band that it can only stand so much and then pow. I'm glad it ain't like that. I'm glad the grace of God is so deep and so abundant. But still, the thing about it is even when I look into the well of God's grace, I still see right straight through to the bottom of it. Ain't that something? That it's always full, but I can still see right through it. But you know why? Because God don't do nothing in secret. He don't do something that's outside of the... I mean, if He's got something He wants for a person to do, He says, listen, He said, I want you to walk by faith. He said, but I'm going to show you where you need to go. And I'm going to lead you in that place. And then where I've guided you, I'm going to provide for you. He said, you just need to keep your eyes closed and walk by faith. Say, I want to see the bottom of the well. You don't need to see the bottom of the well. You just need to know it's there. Amen. You need to know it's never going to go dry. Amen. But then he says this at the last part of the verse. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So he said, anything I did, it wasn't me. It was the grace of God working through me, working in me. It was the grace of God allowing me to do the things that I was doing. Matthew 10, verse 20, he says, "For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." I mean, listen, that's something wonderful, that the grace of God will work through you if all you can be is a willing vessel. Isn't that, I mean, that's a blessing. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Anything that's good about you ain't got nothing to do with you, but it's got everything to do with Him. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, and you're in the world. And so the only thing good about coming out of you is the grace of God that comes out of you. And that's it. In Galatians 2:8, I'm going to read that to you. A lot of these I wrote down, but I started running out of paper. So I just had to start writing down the references and said I'll have to flip to a couple of these. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 8, you've got Peter. And you got Peter, and he's talking here, Paul is talking about Peter. And he says in verse 8, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." God's grace working through you may not use you in the place you intended, but it'll be where you'll profit. Amen. See, Paul was burdened for his brethren, the Jews, and he even said that he wished himself accursed from Christ for the Jews' sake. But the Lord hadn't called him to the Jews. He had called him to the Gentiles. Now listen, it ain't always going to be where you think God's going to put you and where God's going to plant you and where God's going to use you, where His grace is going to keep you. Amen. Sometimes it'll be in places you don't expect. Sometimes it'll be in manners and in ways that you don't understand at the time. But you know, as the old song says, we'll understand it all by and by. You may not know what it is now, but that's why it's called faith and you're walking in it. Amen. And grace is guiding you through it. And grace is going to supply you through it. And it's going to push you right into it. And He's going to take care of you through everything. Everything. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." It's His grace. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now we come to the show and tell part. Because listen, the message is called God's Glove Box of Grace. And as anybody remembers in the old pickup trucks, you had a glove compartment. You still got glove compartments, though they definitely ain't used for gloves anymore. Now they're full of, well, if you're in my case, trash. I've got a bunch of junk in them things. I ain't got nothing in the glove compartment of this new truck, and I'm trying to keep it that way. My bad thing is I can open up the glove compartment of that truck, that's where I throw my receipts. And then when I open that thing up, it's like a wadded rat's nest. Bang! Oh, look, that's from 5 years ago when I bought steak. See, I took you out to eat at a nice place. It's 5 years ago, but I did it. Amen. Amen. God's grace will get you through that, too. Amen. Now, the wife's grace, I don't know. But God's glove compartment, you're going to find different kinds of gloves in there because depending on the condition of the hand that He's working through, depends on what kind of glove He needs to put on it so He can go to work. Now, I got some gloves in here. And I'm going to pull these gloves out. And I had to roll my sleeves up because they're dirty. I didn't wash them because I've been using them over the last month just trying to get ready for this message. And I've been praying over this message. I've had this message back in the archives for a while and not been able to use it. And God finally gave me liberty to use it. So all week this week I've been praying about it, and this is what He put on my heart. So I got some gloves here. And all these gloves are mine. Well, yeah, they're mine for the most part. Some of them I just got them and started using them just so I could have something to illustrate by. But this is one that I got here. And you got to understand that these gloves are a representation of the way God may need to use you. Because these gloves, though this may be funny, and some of these probably stank, some of them probably, you know, whatever. But the one thing I want you to realize more than anything is it's the condition of the hand that God's trying to use is determined about what glove needs to be put on it so it can be used. You understand? Okay, because the grace of God wants to use you, though it may not be in every place you think you're supposed to be. He's going to use you if you'll let His grace do it and guide you and lead you. And while you're there, His grace will keep you. But it's His glove compartment of grace is where you're going to find the help that you need for the most. Because listen, I don't know what kind of hand you may be today, but if you're a hand that needs a glove like this, maybe your problem is maybe you're cold. That's a big old woolly thick thing, man. I bought these things for about $1.50 at the store. It was on sale because the winter was on its way out. I bought these things and within about 2 weeks it dropped down into the 30s. And you know what? I was glad I had that thing. Sometimes you need a big old thick glove. Why? Because you get cold. God's grace has been what it has, and it's so rich, man, it's so rich you can cut it. But sometimes we get cold. And so God gives you one of these gloves put on. Why? So it'll keep you warm. But you know what the problem with that glove is right there, Brother Kendrick? You know what the problem is with that one? See, if I take this right here, and I take that and I try to reach it. I mean, I did it, but it'd be hard to. I go at this from the standpoint of being on a job site. And I can take that glove right there and I can stick it in my tool belt. And you know what I can't do? Can't feel anything. I can't feel my nails that I need to build with. I reach in there and I can't find my wedge pins that I need to fasten down those wall forms that I stand up that's going to keep them from busting apart when the pressure gets to them. Now, that may be the glove that God needs to put on your hand, but listen, though it's going to bring you some warmth, one thing it's going to take from you is the ability to feel. And hence, you're not going to be able to find what material you need in order to reinforce what you're trying to work on in hopes that when the pressure gets on it, it don't fail. That may be the glove God's trying to put on your hand this morning. But if it ain't that one, okay. It's all right, I got a whole box full. I'm going to go through about 10 of them. No, I'm kidding. I ain't. I probably got 10 in here, but they're pairs. So. That one was just one because it was... I wanted that glove, but I couldn't remember because I got so mad. Listen, I got mad at that very problem. It was cold, and I was trying to work, and I had no gloves, and I had those, and I put them on, and after about 20 minutes of working with those, I was so frustrated at the fact that I couldn't feel anything, I couldn't hold on to anything. My hand, listen, I put this thing on, and I stick my hammer in my hand, and because the thing is so thick and woolly, I couldn't hold on to nothing. I mean, something slick like that right there, pull that out of my hand. Pull it out. See, pull it. You see how, and he just, because you know what happens, it may keep you warm, and it may bring you some, that's so nice and warm, and I ain't exposed to the cold. Yeah, but you can't feel nothing either. You can't hold on to nothing neither. And you know what's going to happen is, I eventually got so frustrated with them things that I eventually just took them off and I threw them down. And you know what I started doing? I said, I ain't got no gloves, but I'd rather just my hands be cold and I could at least feel what I'm doing as opposed to have that on and it hinder me from getting anything done. You know what I discovered? This wasn't even part of the message. It's all free right here. You know what I discovered? If I'd just get started and I'd just start working, that eventually reaching in there and pulling those things out and grabbing that hammer and swinging and reaching and getting this and putting it and swinging and reaching in there, eventually the movement would cause the blood to start flowing. Eventually my hands warm themselves up. Because if we just get to work and let the grace of God bless us where we're working, He'll warm you. All right, let's get another one. Ooh, this is a good one right here. I put this one on when I'm mechanicing. No, I'm kidding. I don't mechanic. I ain't a mechanic. I put these on whenever I'm down there in the ditch and I'm trying to finish a slab because I have to reach down in that concrete and I have to reach down and grab them pipes and pull them back and set them down. And these are good, you know. These are good. But you know what happens? What happens is I can feel things now. I can feel things. And I'm protected. I'm protected from, for the most part. But you know, one thing I've noticed is, I've noticed that after a prolonged period of time, whenever I'm working with this thing, eventually I'm going to end up getting my hands around something and I'm going to think, and just move it out of the way. But you know what I may not realize is, in the process of doing all that, when I pick my hand up and look, it's, oh, thing got a hole in it. And let me tell you something. Though that thing was pretty durable when I first started, now it's got that little hole in it. Now, look. Boy, it just peels right off of there. Now I got no protection. God puts that on you right there because He's trying to show you, don't be so thin-skinned. Don't be so sensitive. Got to have a hide on you sometimes. You know what happens? You wear them things long enough, your hands begin to sweat. And all them calluses that you've worn on them hands from all that work has started to get soft. And eventually what used to be protected with what God gave you as protection is now softened and it's very, very easily severed. All right, let's go on to the next one here. I ain't got but two more. Then you got these right here. Now, these right here are nice. I think they're okay. They breathe. They let some air flow through. But they also got a little bit of texture right there, so I can grip things. I can hold on to them. And I can feel things. I don't have a hard time. But you know what's the problem? Is once I get these on and I start getting used to them, instead of just letting God do with what He wants, instead of Him having to put a glove on me and I can just let Him use the hand that He gave me, you know what I realize is I put that on, and the longer I've got that on, eventually this thing's going to begin to wear a little bit. And I've used these gloves a lot. I've bought 4 or 5 pairs of these. You know what I've learned? They don't last. Because as you can see, I don't know if you can see that or not, the webbing's trying to come loose. And I'm going to tell you, when that stuff starts coming loose, it don't take nothing. And you can peel that stuff right off. And then all you've got is a old cloth glove. Look at there. All the protection's gone. And all that's left is the old limp cloth glove that don't keep no cold out, don't give you no grip, don't give you no protection. It's like wearing a sock on your hand. All right, last one. Now, these are mine. I got the pairs to the rest of them in there. I'll clean that up in a minute. Now, these ain't clean by no means because these are mine. These are my gloves. And I like these gloves. And the reason I like them is because, number one, they're durable. Number two, they keep the wind out. I can feel everything. And you know what I really like about them? Is they're a great illustration of the fact that, like right there, you see that finger right there? I've used that thing so much that the grip's beginning to peel off. But you know what? Even though, and if you could see it, even though that grip is peeling off, you know what's underneath that grip? It's still red. Because even when I fail and when I slip and when I trip and I fall, the blood's still there. And you know what else? That's not cloth either. So even with that grip gone and I'm losing my grip, you know what happens? I still ain't getting nothing, still ain't nothing getting in there. And you know what? Sometimes they do a little wearing, sometimes they do a little tearing. But you know what I like is the more you peel and the more you tear and the more you wear, all that you do is expose more red. And the more I fail and the more I fall short and the more I trip, the more the blood just gets applied. What is that? God's grace, man. That's the grace of God. God's grace is, what is that? God's got a gracious glove compartment. Amen. And it's full of gloves, whichever one you might need this morning. And I'm going to tell you something. Each one of them comes with its positives and each one of them comes with its negatives. Because if you're cold, He can put one on you that'll warm you. But it's going to take you a little bit before you get to where you can feel anything. He can give you one that's going to be thinner, a little bit more mobile. because you don't like the confinement. But it's going to start loosening up all them calluses. Listen, the Bible, he says, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. And I want to tell you something. If you're going to understand God's grace, you're going to have to be content. You're going to have to ask and check with Him and make sure that the grace He's extended has not been ill-spent. And then whenever you get through with that, then you've got to realize that if there's anything going to get done, it's going to be Him working through you. Amen. And then you have to start saying, okay, Lord, what's the condition of the hand that You're trying to use? What's the condition of the hand You're trying to use? What do I need? What glove do I need on my hand today? Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed just for a minute.